to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Hello, Dolphin fans, and thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I'm your host, Steven Masso, on this Tuesday, March 19th. In this episode, we're going to be discussing a lot of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzmagic has arrived in Miami. Now, if you listen to my latest episode on Via the Source, then a lot of these points are going to sound a little repetitive, so just warning you in advance. So, Ryan Fitzpatrick signed that two-year deal to join the Miami Dolphins. I talked a little bit about Ryan Fitzpatrick in the previous Dolphins Talk episode, one of them that was discussing some of the veteran options at quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. I discussed Ryan Fitzpatrick and I said a few things. I said, first of all, he is one of the most polarizing players in terms of performance because on one end, you can have this incredible performance stat-wise. He can put up these astronomical numbers, 400 yards, 4+ touchdowns, like it's incredible. But then he can also have these other games where he looks downright terrible. So you never really know which Ryan Fitzpatrick you're going to be getting on a week-to-week basis. With that being said, I also said that he was immensely entertaining because he is. Everything about him, from his crazy beard to his antics on the field to when he puts up those huge games, his performances, whether they're very good or very bad, they are attributed to him being such an incredible risk taker. So sometimes it'll work out great, sometimes it'll work out horrible, but one thing you cannot deny is that he is immensely entertaining. So one thing I said about him in the Dolphins Talk episode, I said, keep him away from Miami, and I meant that if the team was in a competitive state, and I said if they're planning on rebuilding slash tanking, whatever you want to call it, then it would be a good thing to bring him because it would be so entertaining. Why did I want the Dolphins not to bring him in if they were planning on being a competitive contender this season? Was because he is not a guy you can trust in those big situations, in those big games. He is not a guy you can trust in those biggest moments. And I said a lot of teams recognize what he is, and he is a trap. He plays good enough to get a contract, but a lot of teams will recognize, no, we shouldn't do it. And I didn't want Miami to fall in love with the idea that he could potentially be the guy. But now that that's all kind of out of the window, it seems like the clear consensus is that the Dolphins are rebuilding. So with that being said, I don't hate this move at all. It is vastly entertaining bringing in Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I know a lot of people won't like the idea of hearing that. Well, I don't care about entertainment. I care about the win column. That's what a lot of people are going to say. And I agree with that to an extent. But with this Miami Dolphins team, I think, at least from my viewpoint, there have been way too many moments where the offense looks stagnant. And one stat that I've been saying constantly is, well, Ryan Tannehill has one game in his entire career of 400 plus yards. Ryan Fitzpatrick had four just last season, three back to back in the first three games. That's Ryan Fitzpatrick. So if he could just bring that, that will at least bring some type of gunslinger mentality, some type of entertainment, and some type of risk that Ryan Tannehill did not bring to this team. So that is what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping for more entertaining games, less of the stagnant offense we've seen, even if it results in some bad ones. I'm hoping at least Ryan Fitzpatrick can utilize these weapons because he had great weapons in Tampa Bay. Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson, OJ Howard is going to quickly become one of the best tight ends in the league. Now he comes to Miami. The weapons I would say are a bit of a downgrade, but there's no doubting he could do some entertaining things when it comes to using guys like Jakeem Grant. I love Jakeem Grant. Albert Wilson's another guy I love. Kenny Stills has still the ability to break it big over the top like that aging DeSean Jackson did as well. Of course, Devontae Parker is no Mike Evans, but if he could make him look like Mike Evans, even the slightest, even occasionally, then that is a big plus, and I would hope to see that. Now, with all that being said, there is likely no possibility the Dolphins view Ryan Fitzpatrick as a franchise quarterback. That kind of goes without saying, but they're hoping when they find that guy that Ryan Fitzpatrick could teach him a thing or two. Now, I wouldn't necessarily believe that he is the guy that could teach him how to be some elite quarterback. I don't think he is the Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers type of, you know, you're going to learn lessons from this guy, but he has bounced around from team to team to team. I'm sure he has acquired some knowledge that could be useful to whoever the Dolphins draft, whether it's in 2019 2019, 2020, or 2021, if they could bring someone in there and they could learn a thing or two from a guy who's been around several different teams. He has bounced all around the AFC East now, every team except the Patriots. If he could learn a thing or two from Ryan Fitzpatrick, then that is all that the team is asking for. Now, I also want to discuss Devontae Parker just a little bit. I talked about it in one of the previous episodes as well, but I actually like the extension of Devontae Parker the more and more I think about it, just because it was such a good budget kind of deal. Now, I know people have this sense of animosity, kind of hatred towards Devontae Parker because of his injury issues, because of his lack of effort from at least what they've seen or the stories that come out, the rumors, but the more and more I think about it, it's kind of a good move. I think what I've been doing to kind of get myself to like it more and more is to disassociate the idea of him ending up reaching his first round potential. If you kind of get rid of that mindset and just take him as a guy that, hey, we can pay him cheap on a contract, and if he performs well, then we got him on a budget. And less of that, well, he's never going to be the first round pick guy that we drafted him to be. So I've been kind of trying to disassociate him from that, because that was kind of one of the problems with Ted Ginn, who frankly had a pretty decent career, but he never really fulfilled those shoes of being a true elite talent, a true number one receiver. But if you take him for what he is, he's a guy who has made an impact in this league, playing his role, and it wasn't being the number one guy, but if you can accept that and you can kind of live with it, and it isn't too, you're not going to break the bank for him, then I don't think it's a bad move. So that's kind of something I've been kind of telling myself when it comes to Devontae Parker. Now, to go back to the quarterback discussion, and more specifically the future quarterback, the potential franchise quarterback that the Dolphins will likely get in the draft, I was big on Kyler Murray. I said that on this podcast several times, and I still am. If the Dolphins go out and get Kyler Murray in this draft, I will still be very, very happy with their decision. But more and more, it's starting to look like, and I'm starting to get more attracted to the idea of indeed chasing a guy like Tua in the 2020 draft. And frankly, a lot of it is due to just the amount of holes that are still on this team and not rushing the process. And two, I think that while Kyler Murray still has tremendous upside, I see him as a guy who has a very high ceiling, but then he also has a relatively low floor. Now, when I look at a guy like Tua, I think Tua has a potentially even higher ceiling and with a much higher floor as well, meaning that he has less risk to bring with it. But it's really up to how early do you think this Dolphins team can compete? And the easy thing to do is to look at this Cleveland Browns team that has rebuilt this roster from scratch, from nothing, from being the absolute worst team in the league to becoming not only a favorite to win their division, but frankly a favorite to go deep into the playoffs now. The amount of talent just on paper is tremendous. There's no other way to spin that. But you have to look at what the Browns were doing. The Browns were trading any guy with a semblance of talent. They were trading him away. They had the number two pick. They could have gone right there at that moment and gone after a franchise quarterback, and they instead elected to trade that pick to the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Eagles went with Carson Wentz with that pick. But you know what? The Browns were stacking up for some time. It wasn't a process that happened overnight. It wasn't a 1 year, we're going to change our coaching staff, we're going to get rid of a few guys, and then we're going to go out in one single draft and rebuild this entire team. This happened over several drafts. If you look at the first round picks they got Denzel Ward, they got Baker Mayfield, they got Myles Garrett, David Njoku, and just a bunch of people that they have acquired over some time. And why I bring that up is because the Dolphins will likely have to trade up to get a guy like Kyler Murray. They will be trading future capital, capital that frankly they still need in order to build this team around Kyler Murray. So it's kind of starting to creep into my head, is this the right move? And it doesn't have to only be Kyler Murray. If the Dolphins were to trade up for a guy like Dwayne Haskins even, you're putting a lot on the shoulders and you're getting rid of a lot of potential capital. You have to really be betting on liking the foundation you have right now, and I'm not sure if the Dolphins love it yet. That's relying a lot on drafting guys later on in the draft, and the Dolphins have had great luck with drafting guys in the second, third rounds, but to rely on that consistently is a very hard thing to do, a very risky thing to do. So I'm not too sure the Dolphins are going to go out in this draft and trade away future capital with the amount of holes that are still on this team. Now I'm looking at the offensive line, I'm looking at the D line now, even the linebacker position, and then of course the cornerback position. There's no denying that there are still some holes out there, and it's clear the Dolphins want to do this through the draft, but I don't know if they want to rely strictly on these late round picks. I just would not be surprised if they end up trying to kind of stockpile a few more first-round picks and really aim to make a bigger splash in a future draft. That's just, it wouldn't surprise me because that's kind of what I think of when I think of a rebuild. And that's how I'm going to end this episode, guys. So let me know what you guys think about that. One, do you like the Ryan Fitzpatrick addition? Are you excited about that? Number two, are you in favor of the Miami Dolphins trading a 2020 first-round pick and their 2019 first-round pick in order to move up and get a quarterback in this draft, whether it's Dwayne Haskins, Kyler Murray, or someone else? Or would you prefer the Dolphins wait until the 2020 or even the 2021 draft to get their quarterback? Let me know what you guys think. As always, you can follow me on Twitter. That is at Shady Steven. You can follow my podcast if you want to hear more from me. That is at Via The Source. And remember to follow Dolphins Talk on Twitter. That is at Dolphins Talk. And go to DolphinsTalk.com to stay updated on all the news about the Miami Dolphins. That's how I'm going to wrap it up, guys. Until next time, I'm Steven Masso, and this was your DolphinsTalk.com daily podcast.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.